Hey, God bless you guys and good morning. Here we are again, remote. Hopefully your family's doing well. We're praying for your health, praying for your whole family, praying for God's blessings over you. So I'm beginning a brand new message series today called A Matter of Life and Death. And I think it's super timely for a couple different reasons. One is that we are in the season of the story of Christ's resurrection. And so we're going to get into that in the next couple weeks. But also because we are facing something very uncomfortable, and it's the topic of death. So before I hop in altogether, I want to take you on a field trip introduction to sort of introduce what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. Hey guys, you don't have to look too long to figure out where I'm at. I'm at a cemetery, of course. This one doesn't happen to be that full, but one day it will be, because studies have found that humans have a 100% mortality rate. And it's weird because you and I spend almost our entire lives trying hard to avoid coming here, at least on a permanent basis. But we'll end up at a place like this at some point. Me, I happen to like coming to cemeteries. For some reason, I've always had a strange fascination with them. I find them peaceful, and the older they are, the better they are to me. I'll pull off on a highway or a road, and I'll just walk for 35, 45 minutes, just staring at headstones and trying to imagine the lives of those who are buried there. And you and I set up places for that very reason, to come celebrate, to memorialize the lives of those who are now dead. It's funny, we try to keep even the dead living, at least through our memories. But I want to spend a little time with you today talking more about death and how you and I maybe should change our relationship with it, our perspective about it, and maybe even start growing an affection for it. So hang with me as we spend just a few minutes re-examining death.
All right, so as uncomfortable as the topic is, I think it's important you and I have an honest conversation about death and what our relationship is with it. Before we get too deep, let me share some interesting information you maybe know or maybe you don't know about death. Did you know that approximately 150,000 people die every single day? That equals about 55 million people a year. So it sort of helps put into perspective some of the things that we've been hearing lately. Let me tell you how some people die, by the way. This is interesting. 10,206 people between the years 1999 and 2014, over 10,000 people died of accidental suffocation or strangulation in bed. They just did not survive their sheets or their pillowcase or their pillow. Air pollution kills over 7 million people a year. The Victorians, back in the Victorian age, often took photos of dead loved ones as part of their grieving process. You may have seen some of these kind of creepy pictures. These pictures became keepsakes that they would display in their homes. They would send them to friends and relatives, and they would wear them inside of lockets. Thankfully, that's no longer something we do, or hopefully we're not doing that. Also during the Victorian era, ladies, you're gonna love this. Widows were expected to mourn their death of their husband for a total of 2.5 years. So ladies, if you lost your husband, you had to mourn for 2.5 years. Widowers, men on the other hand, they only had to mourn their dead wives for 3 months. That's terrible. In the 19th century, this is how people, how badly people were afraid of being buried alive. Several inventors came up with something called a safety coffin, equipped with bells, flags, air tubes that were designed to help people from getting buried alive. There are literally hundreds of interesting facts about death and our relationship with it, but here's the one fact that we can all agree on. We have a really, really strained and often dysfunctional relationship with death, and it shows in almost every part of our life. And here's what I mean. I think that most of us aren't living our lives to their absolute fullest because we allow the enemy to rob us of our lives because of our fear of death. I think the enemy robs us of our ability to fully live our lives because we're so terrified of death. Listen to what the Bible says in John 10:10. A thief comes, hopefully this passage has become familiar to you guys. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I have come so that they may have life. I want them to have life in its fullest possible way. Let me tell you this. The enemy is not out killing people physically, but he's robbing them, killing the life that God meant for them to live, destroying the life God meant for them to live. Look at just the way people are reacting right now. People are living in fear and terror, and they're not living their lives because of the things going on. So we're going to hopefully change our perspective and change our relationship with death and life. So let's hop right in together. Pull out your notes, pull out a notebook, follow on the app if you want to. I can't fully live my life if, number one, I live like the rules don't apply to me. I live like the rules don't apply to me. So some of you guys are old enough to remember a guy named Jim Morrison, who was the lead singer of The Doors. Certainly not a theologian, not necessarily a prophet, but he did say something smart one time. He said, no one gets out of here alive. And he's absolutely correct. At least we know he's correct in our hearts. Here's the problem, though. I don't think you and I live our lives like we're completely convinced that death is imminent. And I said in a video this week that, the video that introduced this is that humans have a 100% mortality rate. None of us escape death, but it feels like we're living our lives as if death's not coming to all of us. So I want you to consider this, because I'm not sure that everyone's convinced you are one of those people that doesn't think death is coming your way. So if I told you that God had told me with absolute certainty, or maybe God told you directly, wrote it on your wall, appeared to you in a vision, came in with angelic messengers and said your last day on earth would be April 30th. You've only got a few weeks to live. Would you live those weeks differently, listen, than if God said you were going to die on your 100th birthday, surrounded by friends and family, you'll fall asleep and you simply will wake up in my presence? If you were guaranteed all that time, would you live your life differently than if you found out that you only had 3 weeks left? And the answer is, of course you would. All of us would, because we have the urgency, knowing that our days are limited, that we've only got a short time left, that we've got to get busy living. I mean, really, really living. Listen to what it says in James 4, 14 through 16. The reality is you have no idea where your life will take you tomorrow. You're like a mist that appears one moment and then vanishes another. It would be best for you to say, if it is the Lord's will and we live long enough, we hope to do this project or pursue that dream. But your current speech, the way you go around talking, the way you go around living your life, the way you sort of are predicting your own future, but your current speech indicates an arrogance that does not acknowledge the one who controls the universe. And this kind of big talking is the epitome of evil. Did you hear what the Bible just said there? One of the most evil things in our life, or at least the display of evil in our life, is that we walk around with an arrogance, forgetting that our days are numbered, talking as if we are guaranteed all of this time. Listen, the rule applies to all of us. None of us are promised tomorrow, and that means that you and I have to start really living our lives today. And that begins this way. Not treating death like it is something there to rob us of life, but rather it's the motivator for us to really begin to live our lives. And then secondly, and lastly, there's only 2 points in this message. I can't fully live my life if, don't get used to this, by the way, because when we start gathering together again, you're not going to get 13-minute messages. You're not going to get 15-minute messages. I'm saving up so much of this stuff. All right. Anyway, back to the point. I can't fully live my life if I don't keep everything in perspective. So why is death so scary to most of us? Well, first of all, it's the biggest thing that we've ever had personal experience with. And what I mean by that is all of us have probably, I'm assuming all of us have, lost someone that we cared for in our lives to death. So somebody that we've loved and cared for has died. And no matter how angry we got, and no matter how lonely we got, no matter how sad we got, no matter the sense of loss that we felt, we were powerless to bring them back. And that's frustrating. Very few things, actually nothing in our life seems to hold that level of power. So I remember losing the first person that I loved, that I truly cared about when I was a young boy. I think I was probably 7 or 8 years old. Truthfully, I can't remember. But it was my grandma. It was my dad's mom. And I remember getting the news. My dad came home from the hospital and let my brother and I know that my grandma had passed away. And it was terrible in the night that I found that out. It was horrible, but I could not get a hold of myself. I mean, for days I cried. I remember sitting out. We had a bigger property and we had a kennel area, a big fenced-in area for my dog. And I sat on the doghouse and just cried and cried and cried. And then when it came time for the funeral, oh my gosh, I didn't even want to go in. I sat out sort of in the reception area of the funeral home and my dad said it was time to go in and I just bawled. I didn't want to go in because I felt like if I saw her there in the casket, that if I went in and did this thing, that it was official, that it was final, that I couldn't reverse it at that point. And it devastated me. And I have to be honest with you, that wasn't the last funeral of somebody that I cared about. My grandpa passed away since then, and my mom's mom has passed away since then, and my great-grandma. There's just been person after person, and good friends of mine have passed away. I've, unfortunately, like you, have attended too many of those funerals. And it scares us because we realize that all of our collective wills can't reverse the power of death. So we go around believing that death is absolute, death is final. It's the biggest power, and there is literally nothing bigger than death in our lives. Or is there? As a person of faith, as someone who believes the gospel, as someone who should know God's word, you and I should have a different relationship with death. Listen to Romans 8, 38 through 39. So now, I live with the confidence, this is Paul writing to the church in Rome. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. Listen, I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death. I think it's so super interesting that Paul starts off with the biggest force, the biggest power in our life. He names that as the first thing that God's love is bigger than and more powerful than. I'm convinced that love will triumph over death, life's troubles. Look around you right now. Ask yourself, does life seem full of trouble? Fallen angels or dark rulers in the heavens? In other words, dark spiritual forces that feel like they're coming against us and very well probably are coming against us. Life's troubles, fallen angels or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There's no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Listen, I love this because it feels like it addresses everything that we worry most about, starting with death, because truthfully, we're not afraid of getting sick. All of us have been sick. We've gotten colds. We've gotten the flu before. We've survived all of that. And even now, with what we know about the coronavirus, we know that really almost everybody in America, the mortality rate's about 1.5%. So we sort of know everyone will survive or most people will survive. But what scares us most is that we won't or someone we love won't because they might get infected by it. So I love the passion of the love of Christ is so big that it is even bigger than the fear of death and the fear of what demonic forces could be doing and the fear of losing our job and the fear of getting sick and the fear of the economy crashing and the fear of our kids never leaving our house because they're going to be homeschooled for the rest of our lives. All of the things that are crashing in on us right now, those are the things we fear the most. And I want you to hear this. If you are not separated from God's love because there is no power strong enough to do that, then you are benefiting as God's child from his love. You just have to walk in that. You have to live in that love instead of living in the fear of death and all of the negativity that comes in life. So I'm going to close right now in prayer. And maybe you're dealing with this kind of fear. Maybe you're having a really difficult time getting over sort of the anxiety and the panic and the worry. I want to pray with you, but most importantly, I want you to own my words as if they're yours, because maybe you're struggling with faith a little bit and you're having a hard time praying this for yourself. Let me pray it over you and just receive this, declare it in your own life, and let's overcome this together so that we can walk in the victory of the passionate love of Christ in our life and the blessings that come from that. Christ Jesus, I'm so thankful for the power of what you did on the cross, but more importantly, and we're going to talk about this in the weeks to come, the power of what you did when you came back from the cross, when you came back from the grave, when you showed, you demonstrated, you proved that you have authority even over death. And so we thank you for being who you are. More importantly, we thank you for being in love with us, for sharing your power with us. The same power that brought you back from the grave is the same victory and the power that we walk in today. And so for those, God, who are struggling with fear and anxiety and who maybe are walking around even with a little denial that death is going to come to all of us, God, when we do that, we forget how to live our lives today. The most important thing we can do today is make our life count. And that happens by living the plan, living the destiny, living the dream that you've written into each one of us individually in our DNA. You've created us for greatness. And God, when we walk around defeated because the enemy's destroying our dreams, the enemy's stealing our hope, the enemy is crushing our lives because of fear, he wins when that happens. And so we don't want to see that happen in the lives of those who call Summit their home. We don't want to see that happen in the lives of anyone we love and care for. So we pray victory, God, over our minds, victory over our hearts, and victory over our homes. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me close with this very last thing. You should be hopping off as soon as this service is over, clicking onto mysummit.church and finding one of our 20 different Zoom home groups. You don't have to know anyone in that group. You don't have to sign up for it. You don't have to let us know that you're signing in. You just click that link and you're going to log into one of those home groups and spend 15, 20 minutes discussing this. And then you guys can meet later in the week as well. Weekdays, week evenings, there's every kind of group available to all of you. And if you have to switch around to accommodate your schedule, do it. This is the perfect time to grow in relationship, to grow in friendship, to make sure that you're staying connected to your community. I love you guys. I'm praying for you. I'm proud of you right now. Stay strong. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again really, really soon. God bless you.